Okay, so I did a quick look over the passage for tonight, and it was Philemon, and I forgot the verses. I have to open my computer.
17 through 21.
And we're going to just do it the same way that we did it last time. I have this little acronym that I use to study, and it's SPEC. So you look at the passage and think about what it says about sin, what it said, what examples there are to follow, what any commands that need to be followed or commands that are given, and looking at the knowledge of God and what it says about knowledge of man. So I didn't know I was doing it until after my study this morning, so I didn't get a chance to do it in depth, but I did a little bit. But that's okay, because everybody can chime in and we can study together. I'll read the passage, and so this is Philemon 17 through 21. But then you can count me as a partner, receive him as you would me, but if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. So the first thing that we look at is, what does it say about sin? And I said that Philemon says that if Onesimus has wronged, Paul says that if Onesimus has wronged Philemon, that he should put it on Paul's account, like our sin debt is on Christ's account. Does anybody else see anything else about sin in that passage? Nothing? Oh, Karen?
Sorry, I was trying to unmute and I videoed. No, I just think that, like you, that's just an amazing example of Christ, you know, putting it on, putting our sin on his account, Paul putting Onesimus on his account.
Mm-hmm. For the next one is promises. I think it's probably the goal is for promises from God, but I didn't really see anything in there. I just wrote Paul promises to pay Onesimus' debt, and Paul's anticipation is that Philemon will do even more than Paul asks. So I don't know. That's what I got. That's all I could find in there. Anybody else got anything?
Well, I think in verse 20, I think there's a promise of when we are in the Lord's will that we receive joy from the Lord and refreshment from the Lord.
Okay. Yeah. Joy and refreshment.
Yeah, I love those.
Was that verse 20?
Yeah. Joy and refresh. There's nothing like it. When your heart feels full of joy and you feel refreshed, you know you're walking with the Lord.
Although I wouldn't.
Or you're trying to
leave. Yeah, I wouldn't say that, like...
I mean, we're always going to be sinners, but, you know...
I think that, like, I think of that as, like, feeling-wise, and, like, I might not always feel joy or refreshing, or we might not always feel that, and it doesn't necessarily mean we're not in the Lord's will. It could mean that God's allowing something in our lives to grow us, or...
Yeah.
I mean, it could be from us not being in God's will, but it could also just be that God is allowing something in our lives to draw us to him to, you know, get his joy. Any examples? I said Paul uses himself as an example as a good partner, and that, as stated, our sin debt is on Christ, just as Onesimus' debt was on Paul's account. Any other
here? I think that there's also the example of Paul being a good witness, because not in verse 19 it says, not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides, that he witnessed both to Philemon and Onesimus at different times, and both of them came to know the Lord because of Paul. So there's an example of being a witness there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, because I think we talked about in a different passage, too, when Paul says, I'm writing with my own hand. And he's in prison at this point, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
So he's probably his hands are actually in chains. I think we talked about, so just an example of not letting his problems or what he's going through impact what he's trying to do in other people's lives.
Mm. Yes. That's good. I think that's a really good thing. Like when we're struggling with something, it's really easy to become very self-involved and self-focused. And sometimes we just need to think about others, and that actually helps us.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything else for, does anybody have anything else for examples? Okay. The next is commands. I wrote that Paul says to Philemon to receive Onesimus as you would me. I don't know if that's necessarily a command, but I like that.
Even if Paul wasn't a partner, just the phrase of receive him as you would me is like kind of like a love your neighbor as yourself. Or when Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of your brothers, like that reminds me of that kind of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And that's really what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
That Paul wants Onesimus to be accepted as a beloved brother and given.
Mm-hmm.
There's forgiveness going on here.
Oh, yeah, so forgive as you've been forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ooh, look at all this.
And when the debt is erased, it doesn't get brought up again.
It's
finally erased, it's forgotten,
mm-hmm.
and you move on.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
What about, I wrote quite a bit for what it says about humans or about ourselves, that we are all partners in Christ, whether we're slave or free, that we are sinful, we have a sin debt, but that Jesus paid it. We can refresh each other's hearts in the Lord and make each other joyful. We owe Christ ourselves. And then I also put there are consequences for our behavior. Because I know that the Bible study touched on that a little bit.
Go ahead, repeat it all.
Repeat it all, okay.
I'm writing it.
We are partners in Christ,
yep.
Whether we're slave or free. We are sinful. We do have a sin debt, but it has been paid by Christ. We can refresh each other's hearts in the Lord and make each other joyful. We owe Christ ourselves, and there are consequences for our behavior.
Great.
I would add from verse 21 that God does above and beyond what we could ask or imagine. You know, here I know that Paul is asking Philemon or saying or encouraging Philemon, you know, that you will do even more than I say. But we know that God does exceedingly abundantly above all we could even imagine, you know. And we can have confidence in that.
Yeah. Not really talking about 21 yet.
No. Then that kind of leads into the knowledge of God. That's our last word. God transformed Onesimus, and he also transformed us. God has taken our debt upon himself. And I guess what Karen said, too, God goes above and beyond what we can ask or imagine. We can have confidence in that. Sure, there's a lot more in there that we'll get out of it. And does anybody have anything else to add about the knowledge of God?
Obedience is important too here.
Okay.
Be obedient.
So that would be under knowledge of man, you think?
Well, you have to be obedient to God too.
Yeah. So God requires obedience.
Yes.
Okay.
And having obedience, we know then that God can even do more in our lives than we could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have been obedient. Partly what verse 21 says.
Yeah. Well, what's even amazing is that God gives us more than we can imagine, even when we aren't obedient. While we were walking away from him and actively rebelling against him, he came after us.
That's the best part of all. That's the way it's cut off.
Yeah.
Walking away from God, going through a terrible time, the devil was trying to get into him.
Mm-hmm.
But he resisted the devil, but he was laid low.
Mm-hmm.
And then God grabbed him and brought him right back up again.
Mm-hmm.
If people do stray, God does go after us, because he knows that that's what we need.
There are particular questions or sections of the study that we wanted to discuss, or questions that we had? It's very short.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Into your heart. Transforming the system. Slavery has been a terrible blight on mankind since the beginning of recorded history, but amazingly, neither Jesus or Paul spoke out against it. What does Paul tell slaves to do in Ephesians 6:5-8?
Obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and sincerity of heart, just like you would for Christ.
Yep, and I added not as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. Can't read my own writing. Obey your masters as if it's the word of God.
Yeah, as if you're doing it for God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had added in there all the time, whether you're being watched or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like what I think it said in Colossians 3:22.
Yeah, yeah.
It said to obey your earthly master. And do it not once when their eye is on you, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Paul doesn't directly ask Philemon to free Onesimus. He only asks Philemon to do the right thing based on the transformation that has taken place in his own life. And then it talks a little bit about reaping the consequence. Salvation means forgiveness, the wiping away of our sin. Onesimus had been forgiven by God and would hopefully be forgiven by Philemon. But Onesimus still had to face the consequence of sin. Did Onesimus steal from Philemon? Did Philemon have to buy a new slave to take place of his runaway slave? Whatever the case, Onesimus had to suffer the consequence of his rebellion. And then just as a thought question, is there a sin you are thinking about committing? Don't do it.
Mm-hmm. There are always consequences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to remind myself of that pretty much when it comes, anytime it comes to holidays where there's lots of eating involved, because I will just basically convince myself that everything's fine and that it's a holiday and everybody eats too much on holidays and all that stuff. And then when everything's over, when the holiday's over and you go back to your regular life, all of that sin basically is just comes down on you. I don't know, that's what it feels like for me. It's like it's like all hits me and I'm like, oh, I just, and then I feel terrible about everything, about my whole life. And if I would just, you know, be more obedient even during those holiday times and be more self-controlled, I might be able to come back to reality without so much hardship.
And guilt and feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we do need to sometimes keep our mind on what are the consequences or what are the results of this going to be. You know, if we can look that far ahead,
yeah.
What, you know,
the scales aren't going to be good. That's for sure.
Well, it's funny, yeah. That doesn't bother me. Like,
but even more, it's what you ingested into your body. You know.
No. What ends up really bothering me is that I end up opening myself up to like lies from the devil, like just doubting God, doubting my salvation, doubting everything, just being depressed and.
Mm-hmm.
And struggling with relationships with others. It's like all of these things, but it's like during the time that you're like celebrating and everything, you don't feel like that. You don't feel any of those things. And I have to like not depend on my feelings to tell me whether I'm doing the right thing or not.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. I find myself when we sin, it's like, or we are separated from God, and then it causes a lot of pain and suffering.
Yeah.
And yet we all sin, but it's difficult, but we don't want to be separated from God.
And we're not.
God always brings us back. I mean, we might be thinking in our head, but he's still there loving us through it all.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't think that's not
in
like
spite of us,
that he's not there, but we're not feeling it. If somebody moved, it's not him.
Exactly.
I think this next section, the Genesis 3, when it says to look at Eve here in the next portion, you know, I think these are good thoughts to have. You know, what was the lure for Eve?
Forbidden fruit, of course.
Mm-hmm. It was good for food. It was pleasing to the eyes. It was desirable to make one wise. And why do we find ourselves in sinful situations or tempted or whatever? It's because there's something that we think is going to be pleasurable. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be pleasurable only for a season. And then afterwards, it's going to be like, oh, man. And we do feel those consequences, right? The second part of that, what was the consequence, man? They were sent out of the garden to fill the land. It was hardship for them. And, you know, and so then on page 153, it says, when you're tempted to sin, don't think about the temporary pleasure that might come from the sin. Instead, think about the hurtful or lasting consequence. You know, this is going to be pleasurable in the moment. But then when I get caught, depending on what it is, whether it's we get caught or we feel guilty or whatever it is, which is worse, you know, is it the pleasure for the moment or that hurtful or mental or physical or whatever that consequence is for us, the separation, you know, yes, there's separation from God, but there's normally we hurt somebody or we hurt ourselves or we, you know, there's some longer lasting consequence than that moment of pleasure we've taken for that sin.
Yeah,
exactly. And Lori brought up a good example of it for me too, because I overeat and eat a lot of what I shouldn't eat during the holidays, and then I suffer for it afterwards when I don't feel well and I have issues with my body, and then I have to struggle to lose weight again. So was it all worth it? No, it wasn't worth it. And if we could, like you said, if we could just realize that before we're tempted, we sure would be better off, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only one Bible lesson left in the book.
Oh, is that it? We only have one left?
Yeah, we have Philemon 22 through 25, and then
the
last lesson is reflecting on God's grace. So this book is almost over now.
Do we have a plan for what's next, or are we not there yet? Considering.
Not there yet. Not there yet.
Well, we're going to meet in 2 weeks then for the next lesson?
Yes.